Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant, who was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" May the Lord bless the reading of the scriptural portion. As Brother Maxilin was held up in his workplace, I was asked to take these studies. So I was thinking what I should take. Sometimes back when he was absent again, I took the studies. I think we have completed half the way that portion. I thought I will complete that portion which I left behind. I don't know how many of you remember. What was the portion which I took it from the book of Ruth last time? How many remember? You were not there, right? So his question is those who were present. Anybody? What I was talking about? Yeah, I was talking about the relationship. That's the main thing I was talking about. A successful life, as I told you, depends upon how we relate with others. Failure in our relationships is a failure of a life. Because a man is not a solitary being. There are so many type of animals we study, we know that. There are some solitary animals, they like to be alone. They don't want to have any companion. But there are some animals, they are gregarious. That means they cannot live alone. They always want company. So human beings are such that he cannot live alone. He needs someone to be associated with him. That's like a sheep, you know. Sheep, they cannot live alone. Goat can live alone. The difference is that. But a sheep always wants to be together. Even though they fight each other, there's always their habits, but they love to be together. So, human beings are like that. It's not a solitary life we have to live. We need to have interrelationships. Interactions are very, very important. And as I told you, how we are successful in relating with others is also our success of our life. As I was this month, July month, we were talking about the book of Ruth, various aspects. So I was considering about this aspect of interrelationship with the people. Of course, if you want, you can get the notes on that book. The entire article is dealing with that. When you get it, you can read that. So, this is an interpersonal relationship. As I told you, I have said that in this book, how many verses? 85 verses are there. It's a very interesting proof. 85 verses, out of 85 verses, 50 verses are a conversational type. That shows that it speaks about interrelationship. Because they are talking each other. So many people are talking each other. So that is what it is. And the meaning of Ruth? What is the meaning of Ruth? Friendship. That itself shows that this book is primarily speaking about a relationship. Now I had told you about seven relationships primarily on that day. First of all, we see the Elimelech's relationship with God. That is what we have seen. And we know that they failed in the whole aspect. Elimelech and family, they failed. Mainly, their relationship with God was diminished. It was not so strong. In my life, I have seen many people like that. Their life was miserably failed because their relationship with God was not proper. If your relationship with God is not proper, definitely it is going to be a failure. Apparently it may look very successful, but finally, at the course of time, we can say it is a failure. So most important thing is that we need to maintain our relationship with God. Our personal relationship with God. Our God is a God who is interacting with every individual. So that is very, very important. We should maintain the relationship with God. So Elimelech and family failed to do that. But we know that Naomi tried to regain that relationship. She decided, she understood, even though it took 10 years. She realized that there was a failure and she thought of coming back from the failures and restored back the lost relationship with God and his people. If you are failed with God's relationship, you will fail your relationship with the fellow believers. So, she restored relationship with the fellow believers or Israelites and she came back. Now, another thing we have considered, I think, the relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is considered as one of the most complicated relationships. There are so many stories about that. But the book of Ruth very clearly says that it is a myth that they will always fight, not necessarily. There are in the cases in the Bible itself, they were fighting. The first mother-in-law and daughter-in-law fighting, we read in the book of Genesis, Rebecca and her daughter-in-laws were fighting. And she come went there and complained to her husband Isaac, said that what type of girls had come to our home. The Esau is married, the girls are Canaanite girls, and they are causing pain to me, heartbreak to me. So Esau heard the first wife when he thought mommy may not like her, so I will go and marry another one. So he married another one also. That created more complicated. So finally, Rebecca told that it's better. I don't want my younger son should be married like that. It is better I will send him to my brother's house, my father's house. So we know the story of Jacob. That is how Jacob was sent in that way. So we see the relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. We see an excellent relationship. It was not mother-in-law, actually. We should consider this mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. We should consider that way. Our relationship, definitely it will improve. I think that much we have completed. Am I right? That much we have completed. Now, the next one I want to tell you, the relationship between employer and employee. That's a very interesting thing. Bible, I was going through now also, I was going through various passages. We speak that it is very, very important that employee-employer relationship should be good. The servants or the employee has to behave very wisely in the workplace. In the same way, the boss, the employer, should also consider his workers. So in this chapter 2, we have a lot of description about the relationship between Boaz, the master, the boss, and his workers. A beautiful relationship we have explained there. And in the workplace, every believer should behave very wisely and prudently as believers. We are all working. We were all working. Some of you were retired. That's true. We were all working. We know the workplace. Workplace, the unbelievers are there. Our boss may not be a believer. But our behavior should be in a such a way that we should create a good relationship with our boss. As I told you, there are so many references in the Bible which speaks about the relationship between the master and the servant, boss and the workers. The best passage that speaks about that before going into this passage of Ruth, we'll consider a little bit about that. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5 and 9, 5 to 9 you read. There we see about the relationship between the workers and the employer, master and servants, how they should behave. Look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9 onwards. Five to nine. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with a fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto the Lord. How we should deal with our boss, our master. Here he says that you should serve them with a fear and trembling. You should respect them. You should respect them. And only one intention you should have. When you are working in a place, you should know that you are working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Singleness of heart. As unto Christ. We always think this fellow, he is this man, he is boasting, he is making money. I am laboring here day and night, I am working and he is making money. That is our attitude. That should not be the attitude. Our attitude should be such a way that I am working hard, I should work hard, and I am working not for this master, I work for my master, the heavenly master Christ. What a beautiful principles are derived here. So that should be our attitude towards the work. Not with the eye service, look at the verse 6. Men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart we are to work. What the principles are given. If this is there, there's no need of any supervisors for this, isn't it? For a believer, there's no need of any supervisor. We know that in the workplace, when the boss comes, everybody started working. If boss is not, everybody chit-chatting, everybody do whatever they like. But Bible says that not as men pleasers. See, eye service, we are involved in eye service, showing that I am doing a lot of work. As a believer, we should not behave like that in the workplace. Eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So from the heart we should have. With goodwill, verse 7, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Every time that word is repeated. Youngsters are here, you are just, some of you are studying. Now in the course of time you have to go to work. You should understand this principle in your life. When you go to work, you are working to the Lord. You are not working for your boss. And you have to work from your heart, depth of the heart. I still remember when I was working, sometimes I wonder whether I was a fool or not. 10 years of my first 10 years of my service, I never took even one cash leave. Forget about other leaves. Of course, we don't have other leave, only vacations are there. Not even one leave I have taken within 10 years of my service. The first leave I took after 10 years for an examination, for my MPhil examination. Then my boss looked at me, "Oh, you are taking leave." I said, 10 years I never took leave. They are not happy. You know, boss will never be happy. All my leaves were lapsed. But after 10 years, he was looking at me. This happens. Then I said, I was a fool. That's what I said. I was a fool. I am eligible to take my leave. Afterwards, of course, I took a few leaves here and there. But what I mean is that I was serving, definitely, I was serving there not to please my boss, whether he's there or not. I was faithfully serving. That's why when I resigned, they were not willing to leave me. You know, 3 times I had to send my resignation to relieve me from my work. That should be our life. When believers are working, they should work that the boss should not feel to leave him. They want him. I know my elder brother, he was working in Saudi Arabia for 40 years. The company was not willing to leave him. They said, "You continue." He's now around 70, 68, 69 year old. He said, no, it is enough for me. I want to go. My wife is also not well. Then they said, okay, we will relieve you. But from you go to India, even from there you can work for our company. Even now at the age of 68, he is working for the company in Saudi Arabia. You can imagine. They found that he is faithful. So, there are so many examples I can give you. So, people will not feel to leave you if you are faithfully working. Here is very clear principle is given. You should work as you are working for the Lord. I think the youngster should keep this in your mind. And again, see that verse 8. Knowing that whatever good thing, verse 8, any man doth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. God will reward for your labor. And verse 9 speaks to the bosses. How the boss should do. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Bosses also given instruction. Some bosses are there. They are here says that they were threatening the people. Workers, they are threatening sometimes. If you are not working, we will terminate you. Poor fellow will be frightened, you know. Termination is very... So, as a believer, we should not threaten our workers. Deal gently with the workers. This is very, very important. In this connection, I say, of course, sometimes we are not bosses. We don't have. But I want to tell you, in our domestic workers, when we deal with them, don't threaten them. Lovingly we can talk to them and make them to work. So few more verses, Bible, lot of verses are there. Few more verses I want to tell you about that, how we should work as a servants we should work. One verse I want to tell you, that is Titus chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. Paul is talking about all these things from that background. The principles are applicable even today very clearly. Titus chapter 2. The subject itself is a subject of full consideration, but we will consider only a few of that. Titus chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. How we should work, how should behave in the workplace. That's a very important and interesting verse we see that. Exhort servants, Paul is telling to Titus, you exhort servants or workers to be obedient unto their own masters. You should obey your boss. And to please them well in all things, not answering again. Don't back answer your boss. There's a tendency always for the workers to give back answers to the boss. If he says something, immediately back answers. As a believer, we should not do that. Secondly, verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. What do you mean by purloining? Stealing small thing, not a big stealing. Small thing stealing. There's a possibility that the workers may, without the knowledge of the boss, without the knowledge of the master, they will steal small thing. I know some people are there. The phone is there at home. They will never make a phone call from their home. Understand? As they go to office, continuously call, making the phone call to others. I have seen my own. I know that very well. I know the brother will call me when he is reaching the office. Before that, no call. Is it right? No. It is absolutely not right. That phone which is kept in the office is meant for the office work, not for your personal work. Okay, one or two, sometimes it happens, you can make it, no problem. But continuously using the office phones for your personal needs is not right. Even some stationery sometimes, you know, they use all the stationeries from the office. Paper, pins, it's maybe a small, small thing. All they use it for their personal things. That is not right. That is what this meaning. See, Paul, even though he lived that time, he knew this type of behavior in the workplace. I remember about the testimony when, I hope, I don't know whether you heard about that brother, but we sing him Malayalam, there's a great hymn writer. He's a wonderful hymn writer, E.I. Jacob. I hope, I don't know how many of you know him. He was a great hymn writer in Kerala. He died at the age of 45 or 50, less than 50 he wasn't. He has hundreds of hymns he has written. Even now in Kerala, during the worship songs are written. And so many songs they used to sing. Hope you maybe heard about Mimi Andy here, who was lived here. Mimi Paul and Mimi Andy here. Some of you might know her. Her daddy I'm talking about. And when he passed away, he was working in a government office. When he passed away, the testimony given there, they say that this man never used even a paper from the office for his personal needs. What a wonderful testimony it is. We have to understand these truths, that purloining is not right. See that, not purloining and showing all fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So in the workplace, we need to be extremely faithful. That is very important. So the servant should be careful that the name of the Lord should not be blasphemed. Now again, I would like to tell you a few verses. Just we will read First Timothy chapter 6 verse 1. There also instruction is given to the servants. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So we should behave in the workplace in a such a way that the name of the Lord should not be blasphemed. The people should know, hey, what type of believer he carries Bible and doing all this nonsense. That should not happen. That is what it means. Not only that, he preaches one thing and doing something. Doctrine is blasphemed. So preach what you are practicing. Otherwise, you are not right. So we see that a worker should be faithful in the... Secondly, verse 2 is also very important. Says that, suppose you are serving a believer master. They that have a believing masters. When we serve a believing masters, we take it lightly. Oh, he is also a believer. We are not taking seriously and we try to avoid working properly. And Paul says that is a possibility is there. They that have a believing master, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and believed partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Don't exploit the believing masters. Try to serve them faithfully. They are believers. That doesn't mean that you can serve as they like, as you like. So here, in all these verses, there are so many other verses also there, it suggests that we have to be very faithful in our workplace. Sometimes we wonder, if our boss is very tough and rude, what we should do? He is very rude. What Peter says about it, that also we will read. Peter says that even if our boss is very, very rude, we have to be obedient. Chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the perverse. Understand? Sometimes the boss may be a perverse, may be a wicked man, may be a rude man. We need to be submissive to good ones, also to the perverted. We have to be submissive to them. We have to obey to the authorities. That is what a believer should do. So there are so many, as I told you, there are so many verses which suggest that we have to be very careful and we should do faithfully the things God has given. And we should be very careful that we should not exploit our workers. We will read one verse, Jeremiah chapter 22 verse 13. 22 verse 30. We should properly pay the salary. The wages we should not hold on. Bible very clearly says. 22 verse 13. Jeremiah 22 verse 13. We see that the workers are satisfied with their wages. Verse 13 says.
Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness. Hmm.
He uses the neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. So the proper wages should be given to the workers. We have no right to exploit our workers. As believers, we should give to them. So there are so many things are mentioned about the boss and the servant's relationship, master and the servant relationship. And we have a beautiful illustration, example of master and the servant relationship in the book of Ruth. I think we'll take up that. There are at least I have noted four things about Boaz. How wonderful he was, a master, beautiful master. Four things we will consider this evening time from the book of Ruth. First verse, chapter 2, verse 4, we can read. First relationship. Chapter 2, verse 4. Boaz is coming from Bethlehem. Then, as soon as he came, he said unto the reapers or the workers, what he said? Lord be with you. Oh, greetings. He greeted them. And immediately what the workers said? They answered him, Lord. As a boss, it is very important. Here is a boss. He is a boss. He need not to, he can just look here and go. He need not to speak about them. Why he has to say good morning to the workers? Sometimes we people, that the bosses are thinking like that. Why should I say good morning? Instead, they should say the good morning. The boss is thinking that the worker should say, but who said first? The boss is telling first. Boss is telling good morning. In our modern language, we can say. The teacher, who is waiting? The teachers, we know, we are teachers and students are there. When the teachers, the children see the teacher immediately, students will say, good morning, sir. That's a normal sentence. But we need not to wait for like that. Even when the teacher enters in the class, the teacher first says, good morning, children. Immediately, children also will be responding to that. So here we see the relationship building up is that way. In a workplace, we can build up a relationship by giving greetings. Otherwise, tension will develop. When the boss comes, oh, he is very serious. He is not talking only. When he is serious, people should be afraid. People will be frightened. They don't like to see the boss. But if boss starts as greetings, there will be a cordial relationship will be established. So the first thing we see here, Boaz is saluting his servants. Then, immediately in verse 5, as soon as he reaches here, we see that he was so observant of the whole work field. It's a vast field. It's not a small field, you have to understand. Hundreds of workers are there. He's a very rich man, wealthy man. We read that he was an immensely wealthy man. But as soon as he came, he observed. Immediately he found that there is a newcomer here. That means the surveillance, he was very keenly observing what is happening in the field, in the workplace. A boss should be vigilant and carefully observing one. Surveillance should be there. He should observe what is happening. That means that he knew each and everyone working in his field. When a stranger came, immediately he recognized. Verse 5 we see that, then said Boaz unto his servants, who was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? See, the way he is asking, he is not asking to that girl. Instead, he is asking to his supervisor. There was a supervisor for the servant who was set over the reapers. There was a supervisor in the field, and he is asking the supervisor, calling him, who is that girl? It's a new face I had never seen. So he is inquiring about it. So we see that he was so familiar with his field. He knows everything. What is happening in his workplace. Then we see that in his workplace there is absolute satisfaction. The workers need to be satisfied. The maximum productivity from the workers, if you want to get it, you make sure that workers are satisfied. Otherwise, your productivity will be reduced. Look at that here, how he is satisfying them. Verse 13, you look at that, what she says about the Boaz. Ruth is saying. Then she said, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted. And because thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaid. See how you are responding. Worker is telling. Ruth is telling, thou hast comforted me and thou hast spoken to me in kindness and in a friendly way you have spoken. So, a boss should, as a believer bosses, if we are, we should deal friendly with our workers. They should be satisfied and they should say that they are comforted by that. Second thing we read that in verse 10 also is the kindness. Why have I found grace in thy sight, in thine eyes, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a foreigner. So we see that Ruth found the grace in the sight of Boaz. So many words he used. She found comfort and he spoke friendly with her and she found grace in the sight of Boaz. Now, another thing we see that they are satisfied. Verse 7, if you read, we understand. There was a division of labor in the workplace. In the workplace, not that all are equal. There should be a division of labor. Verse 5, we read about the division of labor. We say that a servant who was set over the reapers. There was a supervisor for the reapers. Now, verse 7, you read that. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, except that she tarried a little in the house. Of course, he gives the details about it. Verse 9, okay. 9 we see that. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that shall not touch thee? And thou art thirsty, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So there are certain young men were appointed. They are not reapers. They are not supervisors. They were appointed to bring water. It's not easy to get water. A hard labor. So the young men were appointed to collect water for the reapers. Hundreds of reapers are there. So there are men who were there in that way. So the young men to carry water. And we know that he was considered, he was very much concerned about the primary need. What was the primary need? The food and water. Look at that verse 14 and verse 9. 14, we see Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou here and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her past grain and she did eat and was satisfied. Use the word, he said, she was satisfied. He provided the food to her. He provided water to her. Water in the food is the most important thing. And he knew that the workers need that. If they are not provided water and food, definitely they will not be satisfied and the productivity will be reduced. So that is very, very important. That we should see that the working people, they are satisfied. And interestingly, verse 14 says, she sat not beside Boaz. She sat along with the reapers. That's very important. She knew her position in the workplace. She understood what is her position. So, as per her position, she occupied the place along with the reapers. So, we have seen three things. Salutation, greetings. Surveillance, observation of the work master. Third thing, it is satisfaction of the workers. As a boss, he made it sure that his workers are fully satisfied. Then lastly, there should be security in the workplace. Look at that. There is security. Verse 15, you look at that. What instruction is given? Verse 15. When she got up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men. Because there's a possibility this young man will tease her. May harass her. Or cause problem to her. So what he's saying, look at that. He commanded to the young men, what? Let her glean even among the sheaves. Reproach her not. Reproach her not. Don't trouble her. So we see that he was making very clear that, no, next verse 15, 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her. Reproach her not and rebuke her. See, he was concerned about the security of the women. In fact, that is more important. He's talking to the young men. Young men, we have to be very careful about that. So, should not cause any problem, this one. And we see earlier also he was found that the young men, he was giving instruction not to verse 9, you see that. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Oh, that is also there. There's a possibility a stranger has come, and that to a young widow. The young men can behave in a mischievous way to this young lady. So he has called the young men that no way you should touch her. No sexual harassment in the modern language, we can say like that. Nothing should be permitted in the field. There's a possibility such things are happening in the work phase. So here we see that he is concerned about the security of his workers. No rebuke, no reproach. Not touch. absolutely secure place was his place of work. So we have to be we should understand these things, that in the field of Boaz, I think time is over. I think one more verse, I think Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15. We see about the virtuous woman, how she is dealing with her handmaids and the domestic servants, how she is treating. 31 verse 15, Proverb. She riseth also while it is at night, and giveth food to her household, and a portion to her maidens. See how this virtuous woman was handling her servants at home, providing their needs, and the portion, right portion, salary to the workers. So, proper salary should be given to the worker. Genesis 21 verse 12, I think. Genesis 21 verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the land and because of thy born women. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It's very interesting. We see that, hearken unto Sarah, that's what the God is talking to Abraham. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. It is not the Abraham has to take control of the servants at home. I am talking about domestic servants. When the matters of the domestic servant comes, it is not the husband who should handle it. We see in Proverbs 31 verse 15 also, who gives the salary to the servants or the needs of the things? Is the housewife is giving. The virtuous woman is not the husband who is paying that. Some husbands are there, they are very particular that they should give the salary to the servants. No, you need not to give that. You need not to involve in that. The handling of the servant should be given, or the priority of the housewife or the lady at home. Husbands should not involve in that. Hearken unto the voice of your wife Sarah. That is in relation with the servants. And these are some of the things we have to understand in the practical applications. We see that the relationship between Boaz and his workers is a wonderful relationship. Four things we consider there. Salutation is there. Servilence is there. And we see the satisfaction is there. Finally, there is security is there. Absolute security in the field of Boaz. The relationship between employee and employer, we see that. Of course, we could only complete only one relationship. Some others are also there. If God willing, like this, if once again comes, we will consider that also. May God bless this verse to our hearts.